Lord, our God, King of glory, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, El Shaddai, the God that is more than of the creator of the ends of the earth, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, our Savior. There is no other Savior except you. Father, we worship you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for healing. Thank you for protection. Thank you for preservation. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for your wonderful work in our hearts. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your outstretched arm of mercy. Thank you for your glorious face, Lord God, that we see. Thank you for your mercies new every morning, your compassions that fail not. Thank you because though you are the Almighty God, the heavens of heavens cannot continue, yet you humble yourself, you behold the things in the earth, Lord God, and you care for us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What the son of man that you look, O Lord God, to him? Lord, we worship you. Thank you again for your mercies, yet you humble yourself. Lord God, you consider us, Lord God. Father, we just bless you. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercies. Lord Jesus, High Priest, yes, you are the King of glory. You are the God of grace. Thank God you are our Savior. Yes, you are our Deliverer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Thank you. You have come that I have life and have more abundantly. You are Yah. Yes, you are the Lord. Yes, the Lord our Savior, the Lord our King, the Lord our God. We honor you, Lord. Just thank you for your presence. You are the bread of life. Thank you because you are the one that has and leads us to that living stream, the streams of living water. You are the good shepherd that laid down his life for his sheep. Thank you. You are the one that enlightens our mind by your word. Thank you for resurrection power, resurrection life. Thank you, King of saints. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you because you are not ashamed to call us brethren. Thank you because by you we have come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace for help even in this time of need. Thank you because you are our big brother, the captain of our salvation. Thank you because you said, I will no longer call you servants, I will call you friends. Thank you for taking that which was the Father, revealing the same to us. Thank you because your thoughts are thoughts of truth, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us an expected end. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Have your way in this place. Take your place. King of saints, we love you. Lord, Holy Spirit, our helper, the God, resident God on earth, our guide, the guide of our youth, our leader, our helper. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, for taking that which is of the Father and of the Son, revealing the same to us, building this into us. Thank you for helping us to worship the Father. Thank you as you help us, Lord God, to grow in the consciousness of the Father, the consciousness of the Son, the consciousness of the Spirit, the consciousness of who we are in Christ, helping us to render to God the glory that He deserves, to give Him the praise that He deserves, the glory due His name for who He is and all He's done and all He's doing and all that is yet to do. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because, Lord God, it is not a lightly thing, Lord God, or a small thing, Lord God, to have in our presence, to praise and to worship you. And we thank you because you do not take it lightly also to honor our invitation and to take your place in this place so that you can work a wonderful work more than we could ever ask or think. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord.
You are glorious, so glorious in your ways.
You are glorious.
You are glorious, so glorious. Your way, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, Father. He's so glorious in your way.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord as we take our seats in the presence of the Lord. We do not take it for granted. The Lord honoring our invitation. The Bible says our God inhabits the praises of His people. And you know, the fruit of our lips is what God delights in and feeds on. And so we don't take it for granted and give Him the glory and the privilege that we have to come boldly before His throne and to be able to worship and fellowship together again. And I'd like to welcome you once again to Zion City Fellowship, the campus, Outreach Arm of Scripture Pastoral Christian Center, pastored by our wonderful parents, Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give it a clap offering unto the Lord for this beautiful gift to the body of Christ. We pray that truly they will see the challenge of their souls, they will be satisfied in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I give you warm greetings from Prof as well. He would have loved to be here, but he had to attend to some family matters, and so we trust that by His mercy and grace, as He is praying for us, we pray that God will also bless him and answer his prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we just thank you for the privilege that we have to come again, Lord, to share your word, Lord, to interact, Lord God, in your presence, because iron sharpeneth iron. Thank you, because again, as we said earlier, we have not just come to fellowship with one another, but with you. He that walks with the wise shall be wise. Thank you for the privilege to walk with you. Thank you for the privilege to hear from you. Thank you for the privilege to, oh Lord God, to be transformed and changed by you, to hear your thoughts. Oh Lord God, those thoughts that you have for us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us unexpected. And thank you, because by your Spirit, your word will come forth, oh Lord God. Father, like a two-edged sword, oh Lord God, bringing conviction, bringing revelation, breaking yokes like that hammer, oh Lord God, that will break every stronghold, generational infirmities, that will take us from where we are to where we ought to be, Lord God, by your grace, by your power. You will uplift us, oh Lord God. You will cause hearts that are bowed, oh Lord God, to be straightened, oh Lord God. You cause valleys, oh Lord God, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, to be filled, mountains and the hills to be brought low, strongholds to be pulled down, oh Lord God. You make crooked places in our lives straight, oh Lord God, in our thinking, oh Lord God, in our talking, in our walking, oh Lord God. You make them straight, rough places in our thoughts, in our words, in our lifestyle, in our circumstances, oh Lord God. Father, you will cause them to be straight, oh Lord God, Father, and plain in the name of Jesus, so that truly your glory, Christ in us, the hope of glory, will now be revealed in every ear of our lives, O Lord, and all flesh will see together. Thank you, because in our midst you destroy the works of the enemy. Unbelief, O Lord God, Father, fear, worry, agitation, O Lord God, Father, lack of concentration, Lord God, and anything that hitherto hindered us from walking with you and fulfilling more of our prophetic destiny, knowing who we are in Christ, O Lord God, and walking in the light and the reality of the same in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because by this word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, you will inject life into our hearts, into our wills, into our minds, into our emotions, into our physical bodies, into our circumstances, our original heavenlies, O Lord God, causing us, O Lord God, Father, to walk in light, causing us to be healed and whole, causing us, O Lord God, Father, to fulfill, Lord God, your will for us, to know it, O Lord God, to believe it, O Lord God, to walk in it in the name of Jesus, that resurrection life and power that raised up Jesus from the dead will also raise us up, O Lord God, from where we are to where we ought to be, to newness of life, O Lord God, and at the same time destroy the power of the enemy and the works of the devil in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we thank you, because we know that you will do, you have done, you are doing, and you will yet do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to your power that's at work within us, Lord God, even by your word, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord one more time. I want to thank you again. We thank God for another privilege to come. And you know, this is the end of another month. It just so happens that it is on a Friday. And so we just thank God for his mercies and his faithfulness. You know, divine protection, divine healing. You traveled, you came back, you know, extended holiday, you know, because of the elections. Peace in our nation. And yet we're here. Let's just give a clap offering and a wave offering unto the Lord for his mercies. It's not by our own power. It's not by our own might. It's by the mercies of the Lord that we're not consumed. And so I want to bring us just a short exhortation before we have that interaction, that time of interaction. I want you to, you know, make sure that you engage your heart and your mind, you know, as we share and as you listen to the word of God, which I believe God has laid upon my heart, to just use to encourage us to conclude the series that we started earlier this month, which was on the ability of the mind of Christ. I think we started it online on Zoom, you know, and in the course of our resumption here, we have dealt with many things, you know, and God has really helped us, you know, individually. We also talk about fleeing all appearances of evil in the course of the month. But then we have majored on the having the mind of Christ, the ability of the mind of Christ, and how we can walk in it. And then we also talked about, Nasik Prof spoke extensively on diligence in spiritual and secular things. And we didn't have to look too far. We just looked into the house, and by his mercy and grace, we looked at examples, you know, that he gave, and also especially in the house, like pastor and mommy, you know, by his mercy and grace, to see that excellence in the ministry as well as in the secular aspects, for example, taking using Lifeboat as an example. And then we also talked about our own personal life challenges, you know, and how we can be diligent in secular and spiritual things, because this is what God wants. You know, talking about God being holistic and, God is spirit, for he created all things, and he powers the natural things by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, by his spiritual power. You know, so God is interested in our spiritual and our physical success. And like we get to see, I'm going ahead of myself, but as we get to see, our spiritual and physical success, our all-round success, and our showing forth glory and being excellent the way God is, and the way the Father is, and the way the Son is, and the way the Spirit is supposed to be an advertisement of the gospel. Are we together? Supposed to be an advertisement of the gospel of the kingdom and who God is. And so, in concluding this series on the ability of the mind of Christ, the encouraging word, I believe that by his mercy and grace that the Holy Spirit, I believe, will use to encourage us to end the month and to prepare to go into a new month, the fourth month of this year. Can you believe we already entered the fourth month of the year? You know, we're going to this. Let's give it a clap offering. We don't take it for granted. You know, that's 2023 for you. Dear, dear. Titi a titi. Small, small. You know, you need to be, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to be awake, alert, and active. The time shouldn't just go by, Shah. And then when you wake up again, it's December 31, 2023. You know, and then you have watch night service, you enter 2024, and then, you, God forbid, the person goes to sleep again and waits for the end of the year again. And he's just shouting hallelujah and throwing banga and fireworks. That is not what your life is about. Your life is fulfillment of purpose and destiny. Your life and my life is to reveal, to know who we are in Christ. Thank God we are going to the time of Easter to know why the Lord Jesus Christ came. To know why God became man and died, you know, and went to hell for you and me and rose up on the third day for our justification and then went to heaven. What was the whole purpose of that? Was it just, well, so they can get born again, Shah? No. I'm prepared for rapture. No. There's more to it. And these are things that God by his Spirit wants to unfold and wants us to discover and begin to walk in. And I must tell you that the enemy is afraid of you and me. You know, and so he tries from the very beginning to begin to intimidate you. So when you hear these words, the first thing that you begin to hear, contrary to these things I hear, is, can these things be? Or you don't know me. Or you don't know where I'm coming from. Or are these things true? When you start to hear those things that are contrary to the word of God, know that it is the devil. It's not your mind. It's not your feelings. He comes to those avenues, but it is him. Because he knows that the day you wake up to the reality of who you are in Christ and the whole essence of what the Lord just came to do, he's in deep trouble. He is more afraid of you than you are of him. You know, when we're small, when it is dark, when somebody, or even when it's not dark, sometimes my wife does it for me. Once I open the door, I don't know that she's like, hey! Me as a man, I just know you're startled. And who did it to me? My wife. You know? So, you can imagine why what the devil tries to do to intimidate and to scare us. And so, you must not be stopped. When you know who you are, if he does, hey! You just look to the side. And I said, who? You know? And so, he won't come back. And so, but, you know, that's why we teach these things. We don't teach these things just to excite us or, okay, so we can just have a nice time in fellowship and have something to say. No. It is because these things are true. And you know, like I prayed, if you heard my prayer very well, one of the major things I'm believing that God will heal, as we hear the word of God, is heal us of unbelief. Do you understand? Is heal us of unbelief. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a what? Rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith is like the Kickstarter. You can have the most beautiful car. If you don't have key and you don't have a Kickstarter, the car is not going to start and it's not moving anywhere. We'll just be admiring it. You have a Tesla, you have a Ferrari, you have a Lamborghini, you have the finest car in your neighborhood, but you don't have a key, or you can't start the car, or you never start the car. Faith is what starts the car. Are we together? Faith is what, once there is no key or Kickstarter, the car will not start. Oh, you can have the most beautiful car. We have the most beautiful word. We have the most beautiful truth of what God has said about us. But if there is no little faith, if your faith be as little as a mustard seed, the Lord just knew what he was saying. Because it's going to start the engine. And then when it starts the engine, it starts to rev. You begin to rev. I don't know, someone was telling about your car today that, well, I don't know who was sharing it with me. Or maybe it's all of us. I don't know. I can't remember. But there is a particular car, you know, you cannot go and start it. Like you would start your father's car without him knowing. Because you know what happens? When you start the car, the whole neighborhood hears. What am I trying to say? That's exactly how the engine of your spirit is. And so when you hear these words and what God has spoken about you, the strongest, thing that you can do against yourself is to be unbelieving, is to disbelieve it. Or the traditions of men that make the word of God of no effect, well, you know, I've heard it before, well, pull down those things. Make up your mind first that you're going to believe. Are we together? Believing is an act of your will. I will believe. I will. Do you believe? I will. Are we together? That's the first thing. You're not even looking at yourself. You're not looking at yourself in the mirror. How you look, how you smell, you know, what's in your bank accounts, whether the ATM is working or not, whether you've been on the queue, you know. You're not looking at all those things. First, what's the word of God saying? You're not listening to that thought, have I even eaten, have I drunk? God knows that you have need of those things. But first and foremost, you seek first the kingdom of God, the word of God. You say in your heart, I believe. Do you understand? Whatever is in the word of God, I'm going to hear, I believe. Because let me tell you something. That is the thing that can trigger. One word of God, one word from God can change you. Can change your home, can change your city, can change your nation, can change the whole earth. Are we together? And so you just need that drop of water. And that drop of water and water is coming. But what's happening? Why can't we see the trees and the plants? Because the trees and the plants are closed up. The ground is too hard for the water to percolate. Today, make up your mind, I am receiving this water of the word of God. I am going to believe it. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to let it enter. I'm going to let it germinate the seed of the word of God. Are we together? And so I just want to use that to encourage and fire you up. Because what I'm about to hear, I believe, is very important, you know, to conclude. Maybe a conclusion of that which you've been hearing about the ability of the mind of Christ. Okay, so to what end is even this ability of the mind of Christ that we've been hearing? And to begin to press into it and enjoy it. To what end is even having the mind of Christ? That's what will make it very easy for us. So having this mind of Christ, it is that we may profit, that our profiting may appear to all. Something about saying that our profiting, I can't hear, that our profiting may appear unto all. Let's say it again. That our profiting may appear unto all. You're not saying it convincingly. That our profiting may appear unto all. Yeah, so give me 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:15. Where did this thought come? You know, pastor has preached this thing, but the thought, when God wants to speak, it's just a still small voice, you know. And God knows what we are all going through as young people, as young adults. You know, and he's telling us, the reason why I want to give you my mind and my ability and the ability of my mind, the reason I want to give you creativity and wisdom and innovation, you know, and ability and skill, is so that your profiting may appear unto all. Because I'm a holistic God. I want your spirit, your soul, your mind, your body, your brain, every aspect of your life, your circumstances, your health, your finance. I want everything to prosper. I want everything to be an example. I want everything to be an advertisement of what you believe in. Or shall I say, of who you believe in. Are we together? I want you to be so aspiring. I want you to aspire holistically. I want you to aspire spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. I want to aspire health-wise. I want to aspire in every way. So when men look at you, they are envying you. It's not you that you are envying them. See, because it's the other way around right now. Are we together? Yeah, we'll see everything in scripture. That our profiting may appear unto all. 1 Timothy 4:15. Are we there? It says, meditate upon these things. I can't hear you. Meditate upon these things. Giving yourself small. Giving yourself partially. Giving yourself spiritually. Giving yourself mentally. Giving yourself physically. Giving yourself financially. Giving yourself what? Holy. To what? Them. That's what? I can't hear you. That's your what? So, keywords. Meditate on these things. All these things I've been talking about since the beginning of January, February, March, and the February, and especially March. when we're talking about the ability of mind of Christ, you can go and get the MP3s and listen to them. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself, not partially, not one third, not once in a week, not just spiritually, not religiously, not mentally, not physically, but wholly to them, so that what? Your profiting may appear unto some people, unto all men. You see, people are looking at you and me. They are watching us. And it really doesn't matter what they think about us, but at the same time, we must know what is expected of us. You know? So that we can give the right, what's the word to use now? We may present the right image of God. Are we together? So I even like the fact that he says, give yourself wholly to them. There's one scripture that says that your whole spirit, soul, and body. When God is talking about a whole, the Bible says in one place that until the whole was leavened. It said that God, the Lord just didn't just die for your spirit. The Lord just died for everything. It's a three-story building. He didn't just die for the ground floor. He died for spirit. He died for your soul. He died for your physical body. Are we together? There's one place in the Bible that says, being delivered. We have been delivered. We are being delivered and we will be delivered. The Bible says, being born again. It's continuous. God wants the whole thing. He doesn't want one third and then the devil have two thirds. That's why he says in one place that, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He wants the whole thing. That's why he says, and ye have the mind of Christ. He's talking about upstairs. Then talking about your physical body. He wants you well. He wants your spirit being. That's why he says, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. He wants the mind. That's why he says, renewing your mind. He wants the whole thing. And he will not be satisfied until he has a bunch of people that know that he wants the whole thing and are giving him the whole thing and are allowing him to have the whole thing. Because when he has the whole thing, we'll begin to see him everywhere. Are we together? Because when a man is born again, we know that he's changed. You know that you are changed. I know that I'm changed. But I still know that in my mind and in my physical body, I still misbehave. And so that same thing that changed my spirit must begin to affect my mind, the way I think, the way I talk, the way I behave, the way I relate to people, how I feel. Are we together? It must affect my circumstances. It must affect my health. It must affect my finances. It must affect my studies, my learning. It must affect it. It might not have affected it because I have not allowed it to affect it or because I did not know that it should affect it. But now you know that God wants the whole thing. He wants to invade every area of your life. Are we together? Great. Okay. So it says that our profiting, we must meditate upon these things, give ourselves wholly to them that our profiting may appear unto all. You know, so we're saying that what exactly are we meditating on? Many of these things that we've been hearing. Becoming like God in character, you know, and in ability and in power. What does God want you to meditate on? That you can become like God. What is in the Bible? That you can have his power, that you can have his wisdom, that you can have his ability, you know, that you can have his character. Give me 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8. Just up. Yes, yeah, so you can see before we get to verse 15, he had actually said something in verse 8. So it was a continuous discussion. You know, it was a continuous discourse that he was, when he was writing the letter. But before he talked about meditate upon all these things that your prophet may appear unto, the first thing that he said is here. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is what? Let's read it. But what? You know, it's important that you read it and hear it too. You know, because let me tell you, I've always said it, that it is word and opposite. You can hear it here, and you can even say it, but if you don't think of it in the reality or the present world that you are living in, I'm not convinced that you believe it all. When the Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things, it's important that you think through, because the moment you step out of this fellowship, what you are going to see, what you are going to hear is the direct opposite. Because there are people that are not godly that seem to be profiting. Are we together? So when you say these things, let it challenge your former thinking. Let it challenge your former belief. Let it challenge what you are going to face when you step out of here. And listen to me. Because what you are going to see when you step out of here, what you might see, and what you might interact and the kind of people that you might interact with. You can see, because we have the world. Right? I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the evil one. Because in the world is direct opposite to. Even though it does not fulfill the scripture, this word is truth. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth. And you must hold on and grab and guard these truths in your hearts, irrespective of what you face and see in the world, in your community, in your college, in your university, in your polytechnic, in your class, in your department, in your room. But godliness is profitable unto some things. For a while, I can't hear you. For a while, all things. Only in heaven. Only after the rapture. All things having promise of the what? The life that now is, and of that which is what? Very important. Though. It challenges what is happening in the society. And the onus is on you to believe it as it is. That, you mean all the sacrifices of loving righteousness and hating sin, this sacrifice of denying myself, I know I still have challenges, but this desire and love for righteousness that I have and godliness will pay me not just in heaven, not just in the sweet by and by, but now. Yes, so that's what he's trying to say. Having the promise of the life that is to come. Now is. When is now? Now is now. This is 602. 31st March 2023, of the life that now is, that you are living right now on earth, where you are, as you are, the life that now is, that you are in Nigeria, this economy, at this time, the life that now is, irrespective of how things look and how things feel, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So it has not just now reward, it has eternal reward. You don't seem convinced. I thought you'd be shouting hallelujah. See, truth. The challenge we are facing, and that's why you have to be very conscious of these things. Because the thing that we face, they seem to be more real than the word. But the word is more real. It says, thy word is truth. He says, it's the spirit of truth. It's not just saying the spirit of truth. He says, the truth there is reality. You mean the Holy Spirit is more real than these things, these ephemeral things that we see and we hear? Yes. It's the spirit of reality. It's not virtual reality. It's the real reality. It's the reality that creates and destroys. It's the reality that made what you are seeing. It's the reality that controls and manipulates what you are seeing. The spirit world is more powerful than the natural world. Are we together? And the earlier you come to the reality of that, the better, the safer it is for you and me. Are we together? Yeah, so I'm just taking a bit by bit. Now, so we said godliness is profitable unto all things, the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And we are seeing again that, you see, like I'm talking, we're pulling down strongholds. Oh. God wants you to profit. Tell your neighbor, say, God wants you to profit. God wants you to prosper. It is a lie. Talk to your neighbor. Say, it is a lie that God does not want you to profit. It is a lie of the devil that God does not want you to prosper. But then we must define the prosperity that God is talking about. We've seen it at the beginning. It's a holistic prosperity. It is not a bent prosperity. It's not a kwashiorkor prosperity. It's not a foolish or stupid prosperity. It is not a non-lasting prosperity. See, all those ones that I'm defining, they are the ones that we are seeing in the world, though. It's not a transient, temporary, deceptive prosperity. See, all those ones that you're seeing, I won't start mentioning them because so we don't waste time, but you know what I'm talking about. All those particular ones, they don't last, so they're of the devil. Oh. You recognize that the devil also, the Bible says, is a sum of wisdom. He summeth up the wisdom. God gave him wisdom, but he's now corrupted. And so when you see certain things, and they seem quite amazing to the natural sense, know that the devil too has wisdom. Do you understand? Howbeit it is corrupt, and it will not last. Do you understand? It cannot last. And guess what? It takes the life of the person. The enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, destroy. And they know. Some of them know, some people don't know. Are we together? So, why not stick to the person that made him? that made all things, including the devil, and wants to give you wisdom and wants you to profit and prosper, why not be willing to wait with him and work with him and walk with him so you can profit and prosper holistically? And your profiting may appear unto all. And whose purpose and desire and longing and thoughts towards you is that you profit and you prosper holistically. So you can say that God is for you in every way. It's not that, they are just preaching it, child. Does God really want it? It is God's dream, God's desire, God's longing. He's the one that wrote it now. It is his thoughts. When you're saying his thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, I'm just looking at Ironu somewhere. What are those thoughts? What are those Ironus? It is the word, the scripture. This one that we are reading. Are we together? It's not Paul's thoughts. It says that the prophets were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Those were the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, the thoughts of God, penned down, turned to the word, so that you can become the word made flesh. And men can read it, the epistle, and your profiting can appear unto all. Are you seeing yourself in another light? In another movie? Do you understand? In the light of what and who God has said you are. Are we together? Talk to neighbor and say, you are not looking at an ordinary person. No. I am not an ordinary person. No. You know the Bible says, it does not yet appear what you shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when your profiting shall appear unto all, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as really he really is. How is he? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you understand? It's all tied to you and it's up to you. And the way he's trying to trigger it, he's trying to uproot and dig out the soil and clean out the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And clean, so he can shine. That light has been put under a bushel. He's trying to remove the bushel of carnality and unbelief, of blindness, of deafness, of dumbness, not speaking according to God's word. Do you understand? You've not been speaking. You've been speaking what you are seeing in the mirror, what your senses are saying, and what the enemy has been saying. And like I told you, the enemy always uses your voice. Do you understand? He always uses the feelings. Kenneth Copeland was saying, when he talks, he speaks back to the devil. He said, Mr. Devil, that is not true. Because he knows the reality of the enemy that comes against him. Are we together? I believe you're waking up, guys. Okay, yeah. So, God wants our profiting as Christians to appear to all men, both Christians and unbelievers, you know, especially at this time. And we are saying that profiting is not just money. It's not just material and financial prosperity alone, you know. But when we talk about profiting, we're talking about all-round prosperity. We respect it. Holistic, spirit, soul, and body. Healing, health. Give me 3 John 2. This is you. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about some guy in Paul's time. I'm not talking about some guy in the Old Testament. I'm talking about you. It's talking about you, talking to you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may what? Prosper. And be in what? Health. Even as your what? Soul prospers. You see, that's how God's prosperity is. It's tied to soul. Soul is tied to spirit. Do you understand? It's holistic. Get used to it. Desire it. Long for it. Change your taste buds. Change your desires. He wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. God wants your mind to prosper. God doesn't want people that have money and then their mind is erratic. They are mad. They don't have peace. I know what happened to that. I saw a guy. He looked normal, but he was in torn jeans. And a thought just came to my mind. I said, I've seen madmen, but it seems as if they are also sophisticated madmen. And the reason I say that is because, see, we have people that are intellectual, but they dress like the madman on the streets. Do you understand? When you don't dress decently, and you know how a mad person dresses on the streets, but you also know that people that are intellectual, that are rich, also sometimes dress like that. So the thought just came to that. They are real mad people, but they are also sophisticated mad people. Do you understand? God wants your mind to be enlightened. God wants your mind to be at rest, to be stable. God wants your mind to be at peace. God wants your mind to be normal. not abnormal. Do you understand? There are many people with money, but they are abnormal. You don't be like them. Are we together? Are we together? There are many people that have money, but they're on the road to hell. There are many people that have money, but drug is destroying their lives. I call it sad. Sex, alcohol, drugs. Actually, ISAD. There's iPad, Abby. So you have illicit sex, alcohol, and drugs. Destroying people. Stealing their lives. You can see them all around, but they're not happy. They don't have joy. Do you understand? They go to clubs to try and give themselves peace and to subdue their troubles, their inner troubles. It can't work. Are you listening to me? This is the society we are living in. And so, give me Isaiah 48:17. Isaiah 48:17. I'm going to try and run through. Isaiah 48:17. Are we there? Anyway, because of time. It says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to what? To bear loss. So that when you bear loss, you look humble. No! We've defined the prophet. Again, when I'm talking about prophet, please don't just think about money. I'm talking about it is holistic. That thy whole spirit, soul, and body. That you may prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Not just in life, but also in this life. So, I am the Lord that teaches you to profit spiritually, mentally, physically, academically, financially, socially, health-wise. I am the Lord that teaches you to profit. So, you can see God is for this holistic and all-round profit. All clean profit. The profit as defined in Proverbs 8 about wisdom, you know, that has riches and righteousness. Durable riches and righteousness that lasts. Are we together? Yeah. So, Isaiah 45:19 Amplified says, I did not call the descendants of Jacob to a fruitless service, saying, seek me for nothing, but I promised them a just reward. Did you hear that? He's not talking to somebody else, he's talking to you and me. I did not call the descendants of Jacob to a fruitless service, saying, seek me for nothing, but I promised them a just reward. And so, you see, like we said, the profiting, your profiting and my profiting is going to advertise the gospel. People don't want to see. The world doesn't want to see. See, the world is hungry and thirsty. The wine is finished. But at the same time, the world doesn't want religion. The world doesn't want to see a gospel of lies. They don't want to see people that are of God yet don't have nothing. Because that's not who God is. So this thing should be making you, okay, yes, what's the way forward? I believe it. Now, I want to move. I believe it. First and foremost, first even believe that God doesn't want you to be sin-dominated, unhealthy, sick. He doesn't want you to be poor. He doesn't want you to be a failure. So the profiting, our profiting as individuals, as Christians, as saints, is an advertisement of the gospel. And it's important that we know that. Now, there have been individual obstacles that we've had that have really hindered us from experiencing this profiting. It has slowed us down and it has pulled us. It's like gravity. It has drawn us back. And I'm going to say it. And it resonated with me when I was reading it. And it's important. That's why at the beginning I started with something about faith. And unbelief. Faith and unbelief manifest in diverse ways. Something is a sign of unbelief, but you might not know. Are you listening to me? And when I read this scripture, you know, it has its meaning. And it paints a very graphic thing about many young people and many Christians, young and old, male and female. And it's one thing that we need to be honest about. As you're hearing this thing, please be honest about it and say, God, help me to approach. I repent of this matter. See, the first thing that God wants is repentance. Because that's when he'll be able to come in and do the work that he wants to do. And you'll be able to come out of this place with a new mindset, with that stronghold removed. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 16. Why haven't we seen these things that we are talking about? Why haven't we seen and experienced and our profiting appeared unto all? Yeah, in some cases, ignorance. But in some cases, we are focused on the wrong thing. and we've done the wrong thing rather than doing the right thing. And what is that wrong thing that we have done? Malachi chapter 3 verse 13 says, your words have been stout against me. You say me? My son, come. Me? How can I open my mouth against the Lord of the heavens? See, many times our words, our thinking, our reflections, they're in our hearts. The Bible says, as the man looks into the water, so his heart. Malachi 3:10 tells us, your words have been stout towards me and against me, said the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? Says, you have said, it is vain to serve God. Many young people and many Christians are talking to each and every one of us, to one another. In their thinking, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In their thinking, they have said these things. Because of either situation, and the enemy knows how to do that thing, he puts you in that kind of matrix, that kind of lie. You know, he paints a lie around you that looks so real. And then, by the time that temptation comes, it makes you look around. And then you see the guys around that are not even serving God or loving God or gives, let me say, a hoot about God. Or they have no care of God, knowledge of God. And you come to fellowship, you do your prayers, you actually try in that area, you read your word, you're struggling. And the enemy comes against you because he knows that, this guy knows. He is in deep trouble. And so he comes against you, but note, he doesn't come against his own children. And those are the things you need to know. And so, there is that temptation of saying, it is vain to serve God. He tries to depress you. He tries to discourage you. And what profit? Do you see that word? See, the enemy knows that there is profit in serving God. He knows that these guys, the moment they wake up and their prophet appears to all, many other young people are going to be drawn to them because they're going to see the real thing. And they're going to see that all the ones that have been given are lies. And so he attacks that word, prophet. And what prophet is it that we have kept his ordinance? We're keeping ourselves in the love of God. And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. We walk humbly, we fast. And now we call, now this was happening. These are the challenges that we are facing. And that we need to stop. And we need to recognize. And repent of. And change. Repentance just means change. And consciously say, I'm not doing it again. We call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness or corruption are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord, and that's what we are doing now. As we hear the word and as we come to a time of interaction, they that feared God speak often one to another. And the Lord hearkened. So when we interact here, God is listening. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon the name of the Lord. You are thinking upon the character of God that is worth serving God. A book of remembrance is being written down. God never forgets. Do you understand? Because many people are doing direct opposite. So God needs to keep a record of the people that are doing the right thing. Because it's them that he's going to show forth as his jewels. Later in that scripture, he said he's going to lift them up as his jewels, his sons and daughters, and the world will know that it pays to serve God. So I want you to stick to this thing. I want you to know that there's profit. And the enemy attacks that area of profit, seeking to disenfranchise you or lie to you or keep you off that road, knowing that very soon, this guy is going to enter into the fullness of his profit, spiritual and body, as long as he continues in the way of meditating on all these things. Are we together? Give me Psalm 73:3. I'm deliberately identifying these strongholds, these spots in our lives we need to remove and wash off so that it will not hinder us from experiencing our profit, because it can shortchange us. There are devilish seeds that the enemy seeks to use to shortchange us. Remember this guy's wife, what's his name? Job's wife. Remember what he said? Does it pay to serve God? Curse God and die. curse God and join them. Die. It might not be physical death, spiritual death, which ultimately leads to physical death. Join the gang. No, there was a time it was beard gang. There's no more beard gang again. There's always one gang or the other. And that temptation is there to join the gang, to cool down on this spiritual thing that you are doing, say, not only you, cool down, relax. It's very cool down that Jesus hates the Laodicean church. Are we together? He wants it to be waxing hotter and hotter until the whole part of you is hot. Psalm 73:3 says, for I was what? Envious at the what? Foolish. The fool has said there is no God. I was envious at the one that said there is no God, that doesn't believe in God, that has not given his life to Christ, and he's not born again. When I saw the prosperity of what? Of the wicked. So you see, brethren, we need to be very careful. As Christians, as sons and daughters of God. And I'll just end on these notes just to encourage us. See, like we said it again, God wants our prophets to appear before all in this season. You know, so that we can be witnesses of his presence, of his person, of his gospel, that the word of God is true, that God's thoughts are thoughts of peace and not of evil, that the enemy's words are lies, and they don't last, and that they are not true. And so, in Psalm 67:7, it says, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Imagine God blessing you so much. You're a person of purity, of righteousness, of integrity, and yet you are intelligent, you are innovative and creative, because that is what God has in store for you, and God has prepared for you. And you are also physically healthy, you are humble and meek, you are loving and kind, and yet you are still prosperous. You are pure, like Isaac. And Isaac is a typical example, you know, of a person as a young person who submitted to his father and was humble enough to follow his father. And when his father wanted to sacrifice him, he was willing. You know, he was strong enough to... Abraham was in his hundreds. Abraham was already 100 or more than 100. He was strong enough to say, Baba, show the equation. He was strong enough to wrestle the man away. This one, you want to kill me? So when he heard things like, deny yourself, crucify your flesh, die daily, there's every tendency. Are you a person that is resisting it? And say, this guy, you want to kill me? You are saying, you are hearing wake up early to pray. You are hearing study your books. You are hearing read your Bible. You are hearing come to fellowship. You are hearing go to class. You are hearing those things. And it's not as if he wants to kill. Are you going to be like Isaac and submit to it, to that truth of God's word? And guess what? He did not die. Did he die? Did he die? No. In fact, he was just to check whether, are these people worthy enough for me to send my son, my only begotten son, to die for them? Because guess what? It was on the same mountain that Isaac was meant to be sacrificed that Jesus was crucified. And so now God said, now I know. I don't just think, now I know that you, this Abraham, I will forever have a covenant with you. And so from there, we see Isaac. Before he got married, the Bible says that he meditated when his mom died. The Bible says that he meditated while he was in the fields. And that was when Rebecca came. And that's the only wife. So from being a single to being a young adult, he meditated upon these things. And guess what? His prophecy began to appear unto all. He married a wife, Rebecca. One wife. Abraham had more than one wife. Jacob had more than one wife. But when you look through the Bible, men that stuck to just one wife. You can talk about Isaac, you can talk about Joseph. You can talk about a few people. And he paid them. Are you listening to me? So we're talking about a single-hearted, pure vessel like Isaac. And guess what? He came to a part in his life where everybody was having challenges. The Bible says that Isaac sowed in that land. And he became great. He waxed great. I said that the Philistines envied him. What are we trying to say? Your profiting must appear unto all. It's not you that should be envying the world. It's the world that is supposed to be envying you and me. Are you listening to me? when they put sand in his well, the Bible says Isaac dug another well. Isaac was persistent, consistent, diligent. Isaac didn't fight. He didn't give up. He didn't wrestle. He didn't strive. The Bible says he dug another well. He dug another well. He kept digging. He kept digging and he found water. Every time he found water, they emptied it, they put sand. He kept digging. Never give up. I listen to me. Until his prophecy appeared unto all. And the Bible says the Philistines envied him. Don't just think of that as Isaac, Shah. That's you. Isaac was a son of promise. You are a son of promise. You are in Christ Jesus. In him, all the promises of God are yea and what? Amen. It's all about you. Those things were written for you and me. And I look around at this crash crunch and I look at the economy. And I'm saying, God, how? He says, look at Isaac. Spiritually enlightened and connected to God. He says, the God of Abraham, of Isaac. God is proud to call him the God of Isaac and of Jacob. I listen to me. And then you can see his life. Even though in the midst of challenges, he dug another well. In the place of prayer, he dug another well. He kept being creative, innovative. God gave him wisdom. He kept his line and his relationship with God pure. He kept digging. And God always opened the door. Until it got to the point, his prophecy appeared to all. The Philistines envied him. Are we together? That's a typical example of how God wants us to be. Meditate upon these things, upon the divine promises of God. These are salient things you need to do. Having heard all these things through the week, you know, through the weeks, our having the mind of Christ, the ability to God, does God want us to profit? Yes. But the how of how to profit, you have to be humble, though. And you see, one of the easiest ways to know how humble a person is his prayer life. And that's why we pray that prayer every morning. I choose to fear God. So I humble myself by submitting to God's will. Even when I don't feel like it. It can be in every area or any other area. Especially when I don't feel like it. Especially in the place of prayer. I believe that's there. That's the key word there. Because the flesh doesn't want to pray. And the flesh and the enemy knows that the place you are going to crucify the flesh. And you are going to kill the flesh. And where sin is going to die is in the place of prayer. It's in the place of deep intercession. It's in the place of saying, pray in tongues for 1 hour. Who does that? The enemy doesn't want to do that. The mind wants to watch football. The mind wants to watch Netflix. The mind wants to relax. I'm not sinning. I just want to watch a good movie. The mind wants to go on social media. I just want to see what people are talking about. I'm not engaging with them. I just want to watch, for goodness sake. The mind wants to go to the, especially for Christians that you know that are hearing these things, the place of least resistance. Where I'm not shooting him down. Where I'm not crucifying the flesh. Where I'm not denying it of those lusts. I'm not saying we shouldn't eat or have good times. But you know, when you say you want to pray, it's when you want to pray in the spirit or pray in tongues that you begin to know that, I feel sleepy. There's something that doesn't want you to do it. And so, for my profiting to appear to all, it is essential that I know that I must meditate on these things. Give me Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not what depart out of your mouth, but you will what? Meditate therein when you feel like it. Only on Sundays. Only when you come to fellowship. That you may what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For in that For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous, and you'll have what? Good success. See, guys, there is no shortcut to these things. Anybody that preaches shortcut to these things, denying these truths, I cannot guarantee that profiting is of God. Where you're not encouraged to meditate on these things, or it doesn't take you back to the Word. It doesn't take us back to these principles and exercise of meditating on these things. Meditating on the Word. Meditating on appropriate books. Listening to appropriate messages, be it divine or even secular, in teachings, in lessons, in tutorials. Meditate on these things, these divine promises. So we see the life of Isaac as a typical example of a son of promise like you and me. Obedience and submission. Meditation. The Bible says Isaac went to the field to meditate. It was a lifestyle. And he was a person of self-control. And you know, at the end, Abraham gave him everything. The Bible says Abraham had other sons and daughters. He gave them gifts. But to Isaac, he gave the promise. He gave the blessing. And there is a blessing and a thing that God wants to give us. It's called that spirit, the same kind of anointing that Jesus had. Because you see, that's what it's going to. God doesn't just want to show this to guys in Nollywood or Hollywood or Bollywood or wherever wood they are that you can be the richest man on the planet. No. He wants to show to principalities and powers. The people that God is dealing with are not just men. It's not just Elon Musk or Bill Gates or the richest man or Jeff Bezos. No. Those are men. He's talking about principalities and powers. Those people he gave wisdom to but corrupted it, you know, and are affecting and causing corruption on the planet. And causing many young people to be deluded and lied to. It is them that God wants to show you the manifold wisdom of God to, through you. And so the way he's going to show it, see, that wisdom and that glory is already in you. It's not coming. It's already in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's already in you. So all that he wants to do is to unravel it. And he says, every valley shall be raised up, every valley of lies and low self-esteem shall be, every mountain of pride and deceit shall be brought low. Every crooked place of unbelief shall be made straight. Rough places of wrong mindset and lies and deception shall be straightened. And then the glory of God that is in you shall be made manifest. But there are things that you need to do for us to begin to see that glory and that light. For it to be affecting your thinking, your talking, and your lifestyle. And those are the things that we're talking about. Of obedience and submission to the word of God. Of meditating on these things. Of study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. You need to study the word. You need to study good books. Check my library. I'm studying about Israel, about innovation. I'm studying the word. I'm studying about Israel. I'm studying computing. I'm studying about the word. I'm studying. You need to study. Do you understand? You need to look at your gifting, your strength. You need to study. You need to learn. Isaac obeyed. Isaac dug wells. He did something physical. Whatever you do shall prosper. You need to do something. Are we together? Let our own learn to maintain good works that they may meet urgent needs. You need to work. Of course, when I say work, you might not be in that state of work, but you need to study. Paul says, bring those books, bring my parchments. Paul said, see, some of your own writers, some of your own poets, Paul was reading. Who do you think said, in him we live, move, and have our being? Who do you think said it? Paul said, some of your poets have even quoted, in him we live, move, and have our being. Paul read, knowing that that was of the inspiration of God, and then he showed it to them. There is a part you need to play, guys. And finally, you need to know that the most important thing, as we're talking about this profiting, see, because many people don't want to profit because they are afraid. And many people are afraid because of wrong teachings. No, don't let me say wrong teachings. In some places, wrong teachings, sometimes wrong teachings are what we've heard over the years, generational teachings that have programmed our mind. Some places, the teaching has just not been complete. You know, we've heard, as poor as a church mouse. You know, don't be the first to, just lay low, be humble. You have a wrong mindset of what humility is. Humility just means lay low, just be average, is okay. If you are in the limelight, you'll be proud though. If you are first, you'll be proud though. You can't handle it, so don't be first too. Don't aspire to be first, that's the lie of the devil. Because you'll be head and not above all, you're not being. The whole world will be afraid of you. But you see, let me tell you something that can guarantee that when you get up there, you will not fall and fail. Is when you make the number one thing in your life, the love of God. Of perfecting the love of God in your life. See, because God is love. Is God proud? Is God prosperous? Is God proud? Is God the most intelligent? So how is he doing it? The balancing factor and that makes it happen and makes it possible is love. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 13,
And that, the reason I'm saying so that you know that the major thing you need to, the number one thing, don't let me say the major, yes, the major thing, the number one thing you need to focus on developing, that will guarantee that you can prosper and God can entrust you with innovation and creativity and ingenuity and business acumen. And at the same time, we will not be afraid that, when we give this chap, the guy will run wild. How do they say it? Or something will start to touch. Is when you develop the love of God. Because you see, love is patient, love is kind, love loves righteousness and hates sin. The more you develop that thing, the more you are opening the dam and the basin to be able to take more. You are going from a car to a truckload, from a truckload to a train, from a train to a cargo. You see those ships that can take planes. Your capacity is increasing. Of a necessity, your sagacity and your brain ability will increase. And so he says, and have not love. 1 Corinthians 3:3. And have not love, it profiteth me nothing. If you don't have love and develop love, it will not profit you anything, irrespective of what you have. Even if it was God that gave you initially, the moment you begin to sink and drown, and you begin to go low in love, those profits, those very things, will not profit you again. Because it's love that gives life to those things. Do you see? It's love that gives strength and direction. It's love that makes a person that is prosperous know who to give things to, where to divert finances, who to bring life and strength to, who to bring healing and comfort to, where to bring peace to, where to bring innovation to, where there is disaster. It's love that can direct mercy and grace. Do you understand? Are you listening to me? So you know that of a surety, if I seek love, if I develop love, I am guaranteed and assured there will not be a destruction to this planet. There will not be a regret to the Creator, like Lucifer. But rather, I will be a blessing to mankind. I will be able to fulfill my destiny. The very reason why He has created me, I will begin to show it forth. You will start with baby steps the moment you start to develop love. You begin to get little light. It will begin to increase the stronger you get in love. Because we can know that when we bless you and give you something, and when He blesses you and gives you something, they are going to use it for good, just like He would do. The Lord just was anointed of God and of the Holy Spirit, and of power. And He went about doing what? Showing Himself off. Doing good. And healing all of them that were oppressed of the devil. I will stop here. And I mean it that I will stop. So I don't know, I want to hear your thoughts. Just give us 5-10 minutes to conclude. Thoughts, questions, challenges. Centered around what we've heard. Because you see, like that milk advert, Akanu did long time ago, says it's in you. It's always been in you and me. Yeah, I'm waiting to know. Brethren, that our profiting may appear unto all. Let me see some of the profiting now. Yes, quick one.
Praise God. I just want to... drop a comment on what was discussed. When Pastor was speaking, I wrote something here. Said, if you don't become more like God in character, you can't become more like God in power and in manifestation. If you're going to become more like God in the way He does His things, in the way, in all He did, and even become a continuation of the work of Christ, of the ministry of Christ, then we have to also grow in character. We have to also grow in the things God, in the way Christ lived. We have to also grow in love. If we don't grow in love, we cannot manifest as Christ manifested. Looking at the apostles of old, the reason why they were able to manifest the way they manifested, it was because they have love. They have developed. And what is the character of God? The character of God is love. The fruit of the Spirit, if we search through, everything is still centered on love. All the laws and the prophets, all the prophets that was made in the Old Testament, everything was centered on love. So if we don't develop the character of God, which is love, we will never be able to do things which he said the words that he do, same shall we do and greater. But how did he do it? The Bible said if we search through everything Christ did, it is either he was moved by compassion, it is either he did this by love. So we have to also grow in love. And and like our pastor said, now if we don't, the only way to actually profit in this way is by the way of love.
Thank you.
I pray God will help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. So you see, it comes back to that love. Praying the prayer of love. We've given ourselves these things, you know. Choosing the fear of God. Confessing the love. I'm patient and kind. I love God with all my heart, will, mind, emotions, you know, and strength. And I love my brethren as Christ loves them. You know, I'm praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, because that's what gives you the power and the wisdom to walk in love and make decisions that are in love and influenced by love and controlled by love. You know, then when resources come, we know that you can be trusted, you know, to direct those resources to save lives. There's no way resources will come through you, you know, like a pipe. You will not get wet. There's no way you will not get wet. It's about the people. It's about God's creation, you see. You know, and then when God's creation is brought back to life, like a breath of fresh air, it's like water dropping upon dry ground, you know, and plants begin to grow. Those are the kind of people that God is looking for, that men are looking for, you know. So with your motive controlled by love is very important, you know. So thank you so much for reechoing that. Yeah, please go ahead.
Praise the Lord. All right, so my question, I would want to ask, what is the difference between test and temptation? Because I believe the scripture made us understand that God does not tempt. And test, I believe there are some instances that God tests us. So I want to be, I need clarity concerning that.
Excellent. So thanks
and
for that.
Sorry.
Okay,
sorry.
Go ahead.
And again, I have this ideology that for every greater height we tend to get to, we encounter test, right? So I want to ask that, is it that the greater the height, or how will I put it, the greater the height, the greater the test as believers?
Yeah, so I'll start with the last one, most definitely. With every level, there is a new devil. Do you understand? You've probably heard that. So it's not just even a personal ideology, it's the truth. You know, that the greater you go, the more susceptible you can be. And that's why God recognizes that. And God puts that caveat, or that clause, or that recognition, knowing that, see, in all this, the first and foremost, the first thing you need to know, that God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. God is good. God is light. In him is no darkness. So with that foundation, I can answer the questions. The first question, God does not tempt. James tells us that we are tempted because of the lust, the sin nature, you know, having a ripple. I'm just putting it in a way that we can both understand. Just like remote control. You understand? There is a sensor in the TV and there is a remote control outside, and both of them are able to communicate with one another. Our temptations come from the devil. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, the Lord just said, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. The roots and the cause of temptation, the person behind the temptation is the devil. Do you understand? It is not God. God does not tempt. Let's read in, what's the name? In James, you know, so we can get that right. God does not tempt.
Now, tests can come. The Bible talks about Abraham being tested. And you see, God tests us many times. Let us see how much our heart has grown towards him, or how much our heart have grown apart from him. That's why it talks about the people in the wilderness. It says, I have tested you to let you see what is in your heart. He did not tempt them. There's written temptation. So in James gives us a definition of temptation, so we don't mix it with tests. James chapter 1. Great. James chapter 1. I'll read from verse... from verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, temptation comes to actually check whether you love God. The temptation came to Adam and Eve in the garden. The temptation came to the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. Temptation comes from the devil. And it tests whether you love the world or you love the devil. Let's put it like that. Let's just make it straight. So, you love God or you love the devil. Or you love God's ways or you love the devil's ways. In that area, in that respect. At that time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. So temptation is triggered by the evil. By the evil one, by the devil. Do you understand? To make you stray. It's like pakute, like a trap. To make you stray from loving God, from your love for God, from God. Let's make it simple. Are we together? I mean, it's clear like that. Nor does he himself tempt anyone. Irrespective of what I've heard, irrespective of any teaching, God does not tempt. Temptation's aim and end, as you will get to see, is death. And so he says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's what I was trying to say, that the reason why there is temptation, or there can be temptation, is because there is the prince of the power of the air. Even if you, like the Lord just didn't have sin in him, you know. So the Lord just was tempted, not tested. The Bible says he was tempted by the devil. And he was tempted. That means that he could have fallen, but he did not fall. Do you understand what I'm saying? So temptation comes from the devil, and the aim is for you is to make you fall into sin. And if you don't quickly attack it or repent or clean it out or deal with it, where it is ultimately leading, the Bible says that it brings forth sin, desire is conceived, it brings forth sin, and so when it is full grown, it brings forth death. So if one continues in that thing habitually, ultimately is death, spiritual death, and ultimately it can be physical death. Are you listening to me? So temptation is of the devil. God cannot test you to take drugs. The devil tempts people to take drugs, or those like an ISA, like I told you. What God does is to test. Testing to see the integrity of your heart, to see what level you are in him. Let's put it that way. Do you understand? To see what level you are in him, to show you what level you are in him, and the things that you still need to do to improve. I listen to me. So that's why he told them. He said, I gave you manna in the wilderness to let you see your heart. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. His own aim is to teach you more the things of God. The devil's aim is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. God's aim, God's test, is never to to pull you down or to destroy you. His aim is to let you know there is more space for me to go. There are still things I need to do. And if I pass it, there is of course a blessing. If I don't pass it, there is a grace. There is a rebuke. There is a chastening. There is a correction to make me improve. And say, look, come up hither. You can't stay there. Say, you guys have gone around this wilderness for 40 years. Come up hither. That is what I mean by tests. But the one that at the end, the aim is to steal, to kill, and to destroy, to bring you down, to destroy you, then that's a temptation. And that's why the Lord just said, he prayed it. Pray that he leads you not into temptation, but he delivers you from evil. Pray that, watch and pray always, rather, that you may avoid temptation, and you not stray or fall into temptation. Do you understand? Is it clear? Very important. Is it clear? You know, so tests is of God to make you improve, to show you that, oh boy, there's still space, so there are still place to go. There's still way to go in God. Oh. Temptation is to pull you back, to draw you back into sin, to draw you toward hell, to draw you into lusts. But tests, like tests now, exam in class, for promotion. Do you understand? But temptation, don't read. Let's go and play. Do you understand? Don't read, though. Let's go and play. Let's go to club. Eh? Let's go to party. Don't read. You don't need to read. Read, read, read. Where they read, go take yourself. I mean, then they read there, Abuja. You know those kind of things. Yeah, so you know the end. Now, the second one that you talked about, most definitely with every level comes the new devil and comes more and greater temptations. It's very obvious. It's all over the Bible and even our present day life, contemporary lives. Let's take David, for example, who became king, and it was at that time that Bathsheba was taking her bath, you know, and he fell. There was an attack at that level. See, the enemy, many times the enemy waits for people, though, to reach the heights. So the question you should ask is, should I bother even aiming for those heights if there is a devil at every level? Of course, you can bother for those heights and topple the devil at that level, at each level. Like when you play video games now, there is an enemy at the end of the game. Did you play Mario? There is an enemy at the end of every level. When you overcome the enemy of that level, you go to the next level. And so, to make it very easy, what did God say, you know, that will keep you safe when you're at a new level and at every level? Deuteronomy 17, and it's one of the scriptures, but it's good that you asked it. And is to confirm what I said about this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, though, but you will meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein, and make a way prosperous and have best success. If you don't, you will not make your way prosperous and you will not have best success. And the contemporary is Deuteronomy 17, where it says that when you become king, it says that you will not marry more wives, you will not get more gold, you will not get more horses. And to assure you that you will not do that, it says that he that is your king must write this book of the law upon, he must write this book of law every day so that he may learn to fear me. See, the moment you start withdrawing from those things of God, meditation, prayer, those are the things that cause David's lapse. Those are the things that cause all those kings that went down from a height, from a very tall position, that went down. It was because they stopped those things. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You must keep writing it each day. Even you're a king, even though you live in a palace, even though you're the king, God has made you the most innovative, the most creative. Even though you've built apps, you have fintechs, even though you are making it, you're a different engineer, a different doctor, a different sociologist, a different architect, a different engineer, a different computer scientist. You are one of a kind. Are you going to stop praying? Daniel was a prime minister. He didn't stop. The moment he stopped, he was going to be going down, man. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, for every level, is there a way around it? That's what I would rather... We end with. Is there victory? Is there assurance? Is there security in me being the pastor of a church? Is there security and assurance that if I'm the president of Nigeria, I will not be corrupt? Is there security and assurance that I'm the prime minister, if I'm set in a place of position like Joseph, I can still succeed and excel? What is the way? What is the assurance? Is there security that when I'm just like Jesus, of course, when you're like Jesus, you will not be proud. Is there security that when I'm in that height, I will not falter and fail? That I should not be afraid for aiming for the heights that God has for me? Yes, there is security and there's assurance. And it is this same thing I've just told you. This book of the law, as you are right now, as you are doing the book of the law right now, as God begins to promote you and raise you up higher and higher, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Oh, I know Abraham, he would teach his children my law and my statutes. Those are the kind of things that God is looking out for. When he gets there, he will write this book of the law every day of his life, that he may learn to fear me, that he may not drop dead, quote unquote, or that he may not fail or falter. Deuteronomy 17. The thing that keeps you in that success and keeps you shining, a shining light for all history and eternity, like Joseph, is that this book of the law, you write it in your heart every day. It keeps you humble. How is this guy the wealthiest guy and still the most humble guy? How are people able to relate with him? How is he able to relate to children, the poor, the rich, the old, the young, the male, the female? How? With all purity. How? This book of the law has not departed from his heart. He has written upon his heart that he may learn to fear me. He's praying it every day. Every time he has the opportunity, like Daniel, he prays. Because he knows that, oh boy, I'm in a territory where they don't like me. I'm in enemy territory. The enemy seeks to kill and to destroy. But he will never have the inroad and the way when I watch and pray. Always. So in fact, if you make that your core thing, your other parts of your life, your brain, your members, your organs, they'll be functioning according to the will of God, according to the life and power of God. And you see, I wrote something down, and we'll just pray immediately after this. Always be humble enough to believe the word of God and continue in it, so that you will have the grace of God to remain consistent in doing it. Now listen to me. Never stop believing the word of God. Never stop being humble. Say, who is that humble man? He that trembles at my word. Who is that broken and contrite hearted man? He that trembles at my word. Never get to a place where I don't need the Bible again. I don't need to go to fellowship. I don't need to hear the word. What's the prophet saying? What's Pastor Lovely saying? Do I need to go to church? You know, the churches we have, this, I can have church for my house, you know. Never be proud enough to stop studying the word. Be humble enough to keep believing the word of God and the teachings and the truths from the word, so that you will have the grace to continue to be consistent in doing the word. Because he that is humble receives what? Grace. And you know what grace gives you? Grace gives you life. It gives you energy. It gives you strength to continue to run, to continue to generate power. It's like fuel. It continues to help you so that your prayer is effectual and fervent and produces and passes through the roof into the heavens. And guess what happens? It will give you light. It will give you wisdom, direction, knowledge, knowing what to do in every situation. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to have challenges where you're going to, where you have your mistakes. But the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and rises up. And that's where the blood of Jesus comes in to cleanse your heart. You must have the confidence to use the blood. The blood never finishes. But not that you'll be sinning any time and say that the blood is there now. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the blood doing its work of cleansing you, of cleansing your heart and those around you. Whether you sin or you've not sinned, the blood cleanses. And the word strengthens and energizes you and gives you life. It renews your mind. So you start to think like God and talk like God. You begin to speak the word even in contrary situations. And then guess what? You have the power of the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues. It gives fire to that word. You know, it energizes and blazes that word in the right direction. It creates. It destroys. It uproots. It plants. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. It gives life to the dead. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Okay, just one last comment, yes. Pray.
Praise God. Thank you so much, sir. And thank you for the question. I just wanted to add something. The issue of death and temptation. One situation can be a test and a temptation. I stand corrected. We need to understand that there are two major forces interested in our lives. We have God and the devil. God is, let's use a school scenario now. God is the teacher. The devil is your enemy. So a situation comes, the essence of that situation, Satan brings the temptation. But God's intention is, okay, so I think a major difference is the intention. God's intention is not for you to fail, like Pastor Lalu was saying. God wants to test you. So when we write tests and when we write exams, we see, okay, we get 60 over 100. So that means there are 40 things that I didn't get right that I need to work on. But the intention of the devil is not for you to even get that 60. The intention is for you to fail. So when you're in a situation, you need to trust the integrity of God and the love he has for you. So God is not tempting me. Satan brought this situation, but God's intention is for me to pass. So that's why he's right there with you. The Holy Spirit will be inspiring you, be giving you instructions, giving you encouragement, giving you thoughts, way of escape. The Bible says that God will never allow us to be tempted above what we can bear. Satan brings a temptation. God can use it as a test. But God's intention is never for us to fail. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for the attempt. But just so he doesn't get confused, if we use the scenario of the class, maybe we can end with that. The tests and the exams are assured. They come from the school. They are allowed by the school. They come from the examiner. But just so you don't get confused, just make it extra clear using the her analogy. The temptation, a temptation will be that you should not study to pass the exam. Now listen to me. Exams can come. Tests can come. I don't want to use one thing as a test and as a temptation, because you can start getting confused. Look, temptation will come from the devil. Make it clear. It doesn't come from God. And it is to pull you down. You know, like you were saying. It's to pull you down. Tests come from God, but it lets you know that there is more room for you to do. There are two separate things. Just make it clear like that. Do you understand? There are two separate things. Like that's why I gave you the example of the one in the wilderness. For the Israelites in the wilderness, I'm coming. For the Israelites in the Old Testament, God said, I have tested you. That is not just by manna. I've given you the manna, I've given you the quails. But I gave you so that you will know that man shall not live by bread alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? But by every word of God. What God was doing there, it wasn't a temptation, it was the test. And it wasn't to condemn them or castigate them or pull them down. It's to let them know that there is more. There is more learning in God for you to know or for you to have. Are you listening to me? It's to make you grow. Never to make you feel depressed or dejected or discouraged. Are you listening to me? It can bring you to a place of sorrow and repentance that, oh my goodness, okay, I'm so sorry, I messed up here. But it is never to pull you down or to discourage you. Temptations is to destroy. Outright destruction. That's why it says, God does not tempt. That's why he made it very clear in the New Testament. God does not tempt. God does not tempt, since God does not tempt. Do you understand? But, like this scripture she quoted, he will not allow you to be tempted. That means that God is watching the enemy. When the enemy wants to tempt you, God is aware. Because of course, God wants you to lean on him to get wisdom out and strength. That's why he says he will not leave you to be tempted above what you can ever bear, you know, or go through. He's watching to help you. He's watching, looking forward to you to call upon him, to ask for mercy, to pray in tongues, to ask for help at that time, so that he can come in. That's why Jesus was tempted in every area like we are, yet without sin. That is why we have a high priest who is able to grant us help and succor in the time of temptation. So God is not unaware of temptations, but God is not the root and behind temptations. He's totally against it, in that he wants to help you to overcome them. Do you understand? Temptations come from the devil. Turn the stone to bread. It wasn't a temptation. Sorry, it wasn't a test. It was a temptation. He wanted him to use his power to turn stone to bread unnecessarily. And then he quoted that scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Do you understand what I'm saying? At that point, God would have clapped. My son has made it. Do you understand? I'm deliberately painting. Yeah, I know you're trying to explain, but just so that there won't be that fear of a thin line. Is it God or is it not the devil? Notice outright. You know, you wanted to say something. Since you started it, I'll allow you to.
So why I asked the question, because I said for every level there is a particular test because of the story of Job. So I begin to reason, like, okay, is it that, because later at the end God allowed Satan to tempt Job, and at the end when Job overcame the test or the temptation, so God rewarded Job twice his previous achievement and all of that. So that was why I asked that, okay, what now the difference between test and temptation?
Okay, so if you look at it, making it easy again, the person behind temptation is the devil. In it all, if you look at our story, from the very beginning, the whole discourse started between God and the devil. You understand what I'm saying? And so, it's even God that brought Satan's attention. That, have you seen my servant Job, this, that, a perfect man, so on and so. And then he heard what Satan said. Doth Job serve God for naught? And then he said, okay, I give you into his hands, but don't touch him. Now, in it all, where is the temptation? Curse God and die. That's the devil, outrightly. So, did Job curse God and die? No. In the midst of the situation, his friends came as tormentors. Did Job curse God and die? No. In it all, at the end, Job did increase in wisdom because, of course, God revealed himself to Job. Job had his challenges of being proud, you know, of trusting more in his sacrifices than in praying and spiritual law, of keeping spiritual law. But you see, God didn't castigate him or pull him out or condemn him. Satan was always looking for a way he could kill him. But Job, God in his mercy, just preserved him. And so at the end, like we read in James, says that when a man endures temptation, curse God and die. It wasn't once. It wasn't twice. It was through the situations. And then his friends come in, not even helping. That was enough for him. And see, God was watching. The devil was watching. If I don't come to him directly, situation-wise, let's see whether he will curse God and die. The temptation already started from the beginning. Curse God and die. That was the temptation from the very onset at that level. Do you understand? And then when he passed and he overcame that temptation, the Bible tells us now in New Testament, says that men like Job who have endured temptation, I think it's in James or somewhere, where it talks about Job again and quotes Job, you know, as what? If you can help me find it. Yeah. Consider the patience of Job. You know, he endured temptation. And that's why he got, like you said, he got promoted. That's why I like that scripture. It says, when you endure temptation, God rewards you. You did not fall into temptation. You overcame the temptation. And God will reward you for overcoming temptation. That will give an encouragement. Because you see, if there's no reward for overcoming temptation, then you feel that, let's eat and drink. Tomorrow we die. Then what's the point of me struggling and enduring and going through all that and saying no when I could have said yes? Do you understand? That's why God rewards. God rewards when you overcome a temptation. God rewards you when you pass his tests. If you don't pass the test, you redo the test. You retake the test. But the test is never to destroy. The test is just to show you the level that you are and to change. To repent. A temptation wants to destroy you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It comes from the enemy. It's direct opposite of the instruction that God has given you. Do you understand what I'm saying? A test is a test. A question on based on what I've taught you. Do you understand? Just think of that class setting. It's based on what I've taught you. The same teacher that taught you is the one that is invigilating. Or you get an external invigilator. But he can never answer the question for you at that point. Have you read? Have you studied? Have you practiced? If you don't do well, he will correct it. He will mark it wrong and then give you correction. You'll do it again if he needs to. At least you have the opportunity to learn it again. But temptation, on the other hand, outright
to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to make you a goner. I'm not going to ask now. He wants you dead. But when you overcome him and overcome it, he grants you a reward, a crown. What is it, your God? A prince over this temptation. You move to a higher level. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I hope that helps. But the most powerful thing is watch and pray. So you don't get temptation. And when you do, you rise up again. You repent, you change. You know? Let's bow heads as we pray. Thank you, Father, because indeed it is your desire that our profiting appears unto all spiritually, in overcoming temptations, in passing tests and exams, in choosing your fear, in loving you, in delighting in you. It is your desire that we profit mentally and physically. Our profiting may appear unto all. It is your desire that our profiting may appear unto all. It is your desire that we profit in all things. It is your desire that we meditate upon all things. Thank you for mercy, grace, and help. We repent of where we have lacked knowledge and we've been ignorant. We repent of where we have been unbelieving. We repent of where we have devoured incomplete teachings and ask for fresh mercy. We ask for grace. We ask for help. We ask for wisdom and revelation. We ask for understanding. We ask that you grant us humility. So we'll increase in wisdom. We'll have more grace to do the things that we need to do spiritually and physically. To grow in wisdom, in stature. To grow to become more like Jesus in our walk with you, in our thinking, in our lifestyle. So that truly that profiting may appear to all men in every area. And when men see us, Christ is lifted up and they are drawn to him in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you grant us wisdom, durable riches and righteousness. You will help us not to envy the wicked. Forgive us when we have complained in our hearts that doth it pay to serve you. We repent of this. We ask for mercy. Grant us wisdom and revelation. Help us not to look at the world, but help us to look into your word. The law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty that will set our minds free, set our spirits free, that will give us a trajectory of how to walk, where to walk, where to go. It is you that teaches us to profit. King of saints, we ask for wisdom, we ask for mercy. Lord, to fulfill our place, to take our place, to manifest your wisdom, this manifold wisdom that you want to show to principalities and powers, not just even to men, to principalities and powers, this manifold wisdom. Thank you because this is why you have created us, to show forth your good works. Help us not to shortchange ourselves through unbelief, through covetousness, through lusts, but rather by your blood, by your word, by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to begin to and continue to go into greater heights until the whole is leavened with your life, with your grace, with your wisdom, with your love, with your power, and then our profiting appears unto all in every area, in humility, in creativity, in prosperity and wealth, for the blessing of the nations, mankind, and creation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit's concern. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the Catholic Shakatrala Pazuntura Shakata. Thank you, Pralash Catholic Petoria. Shakatura Pazetra Catholic Zantara. Thank you, Bracadrolisca Pashakatara. Janethrolo, Jacatrolo, Jalabracodramista. More of your life in Masaria, in our wheels of Bakaya, in our minds of Mashana, in our emotions of Bakaya, in our intellect of Mashaya, in our physical body Bracaya, in our circumstances, in our regional heavens. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise